Coming up here on KNKX is a story from our weekly show, Sound Effect. Every week, there's a theme, and Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer has this next story about the upside of the down.
My name is Matt Kramer. I play in a band called Junior on the Prowl. We are a rock and roll cover band.
And I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and you're listening to Sound Effect from 88.5.
I play in a practice space in Seattle. We share it with another band, and our total cost for a 20 by 20 space in downtown Seattle is $750.
That's just one example of how the economy bleeds into art. When you have to pay $750 a month for a crummy little room where the lights don't always work, it makes the uphill climb of surviving as a musician even steeper. But it wasn't always this way. We sat down with Seattle music journalist and author Charles R. Cross, and he said 30-plus years ago, the economy intersected with rock and roll in a very different way.
I think many people that weren't around forget what the arts and cultural scene, in fact, just the plain economy in Seattle in general was like in the early 80s. There were many, many empty spaces that just were empty forever. So the capacity for a band member to rent a room for $100 in Belltown and live, or rent a rehearsal space for $75, was everywhere. You know, there was another big one on Capitol Hill, like in an area where, of course, there's apartments now and condos, but you would go up there and then in one room would be the President of the United States and the other room would be, you know, the Fastbacks, and in the room down the hall would be some other Sub Pop band. You know, there was huge gaps in the economy. There was Boeing and there was almost nothing else. There was no tech at that point. Microsoft doesn't come in until the late 80s. You know, tumbleweeds were rolling through Belltown. We are talking a decade or so after the famous billboard, "Will the last person leave in Seattle, please cut the lights out." That was the Boeing downturn. But in the 80s, culturally and musically, this was not a time of a massive amount of growth. Between 76 and grunge, early 90s, the only other band in Seattle that had been successful during that time was Kenny Gorelick, Kenny G. That's it. Nobody else probably made a living, very good living, in Seattle for 15 years.
Dark days indeed. No offense to Kenny G, but Cross says the hardscrabble times had kind of a surprising effect.
Things were so bad that the idea that you were going to be a band in Seattle and find a following, everybody gave up on that. And what I think changed was this artistic thing shifted, where people began to make the music they really wanted, as opposed to making music they thought would be commercial and would make them famous. So what happened is bands started to play, I think, artistically only for their friends, because only their friends went to their shows. But if you're playing just for your friends, you also are more likely to play what you really want, as opposed to try to play music that you think is going to make you popular and get you on the radio. So I think the bands that came out of Seattle in that era were in some bizarre way truer and purer than the bands that were coming out of LA and New York and other places. Because there was no possibility for them to be successful, they really gave you what they were on stage and in their records. It was the impact of those great records, which had a life long after the record release party, which really made Seattle. But it wasn't because we had a great club scene. My argument is always it's the exact opposite. It's because we had such a crappy club scene that people made great records. In the summer of 1994, five bands from Seattle released albums that debuted at number one in the Billboard charts. That's never happened in an American city. In some ways, though, I look back on that era and I go, this is such an unbelievable miracle that the timing of it all came together, where there's cheap rent, where there's a lot of young musicians, and where there's also talent adding together. That's a miracle that I don't know that we'll ever see again. And it's amazing that it actually happened. I think people take it for granted.
That's music journalist and author Charles R. Cross. And that sets the table for our theme this week, Upside of the Down. Stories of people finding something positive in an otherwise grim situation, right here on Sound Effect.